The woman enjoyed every year planting seeds for her flower bed, took great pride in it. But she was lamenting with her husband as it kind of began to grow and began to green up a little bit. She says, "I can't tell the difference between the flowers and the dandelions." Husband thought that he would be helpful. Husband said, "Well, just pull out everything, and what grows back will be the weeds." Well, you can distinguish the difference then. Maybe it doesn't make a lot of sense because it defeats the purpose. The purpose was to grow flowers and to celebrate that beauty, to celebrate that growth. We are to celebrate the flower. We are to celebrate the beauty of the message that Jesus brings in amongst the weeds of his day. For his message is quite contrary to the traditions from which he comes. It was the largest temple structure in the world. The Temple of Jerusalem. It had these incredible walls, these huge stones that were erected to support the platform on which the temple and its courts stood. Where the temple and the courts looked covered nearly 10 acres of land. It was visible from hundreds of feet above the valley floor. The glistening of the gold, the white of the walls. It was the destination, the accumulation of the journey of pilgrims throughout the year. 7 great feasts were held there. The Passover, the unleavened bread, the first fruits, Shavuot, or Pentecost, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the Feast of the Sukkot. It is there that the people went, where the worship was directed to the God of Israel that was present in the Holy of Holies. Sacrifices were made to the God who was present there in their midst. In the temple. When Jesus begins his ministry, teaching on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, he asks the question, "On what will you build your house? On what will you build your house?" And he says, "That which is built on the sand will fall." And specifically, he's referring to the temple. "Great will be its fall," he says. "But that which is built on the rock will endure." That which is built on the words of Jesus. "Those who hear these words of mine and acts on them," he says. For Jesus, during his day, the temple had become a symbol of the perversion of Israel's call, of who they were supposed to be. The leadership had collaborated with the foreign rulers. Compromises were made in their beliefs. There is exclusion not only of the foreign people, of the Gentiles, of the pagans, but exclusions of their own people. This was a temple that over a period of 1,000 years had represented the relationship of God with the people of Israel. But now Jesus brings what we can refer to as a counter-temple movement. Jesus is saying that what one would normally get by going to the temple and worshiping and presenting your sacrifices throughout the course of the year, now you have with me. Come to me. Jesus is saying that the temple system that was followed in order to gain the forgiveness of sins This forgiveness was now declared by Jesus Himself. Come to me, He says. And so He awakens this new message. Contrary to everything else during His day. It's like the woman who was asleep and the phone rings. It was her peppy mother. And her mother begins to tell her what she plans on doing over the course of the day. All the things that will be happening, all the events taking place during the week ahead. Finally, the daughter interrupts her and says, "Mom, it's 5 a.m. And the mother says, "Well, what are you doing up so early?" Jesus awakens a new message. A message that is to bring us out of the darkness into the new light. Contrary to the traditions and the teachings of His day. He brings new surprises. He shocks the people and the leadership. During His day, we have to remember, it was only the pure, the physically whole, the unblemished, that could be a full part of their community. Not those who were considered impure. Some even believe that those were the people being punished by God. The blind, the lame, the diseased. But Jesus brings a new light into that darkness. And we read about all of His encounters with those people, with the questionable ones. And He parties with them. He attends banquets. He visits their homes. He meets with them in public settings for all the people to see. His teachings emphasized how all are included. The impure, the down and out, and the sinner. The history of the people of Israel emphasized their return from exile. With that return from exile, they reestablished the temple one more time. This temple now that had reached its full construction pretty much by the time of Jesus. And that temple was that symbol of forgiveness. But in Jesus' counter-temple movement, we read in Paul the reference to your body is a temple. Now maybe you've heard that before in your life. Someone has mentioned it to you. Often the way and perhaps we take care of ourselves and so forth and so on. But it's much, much more than that. Our body is the temple, and within you is the Holy Spirit. Bringing home the message of Jesus, Paul says, the Spirit of God is not present in some building, in some place, but the Spirit of God is present in you. There you will find the presence. And we have to recognize then who we are to be. The mother was at the school conference with her for her daughter. You know how you have those a couple times over the course of the year. And the teacher was talking about the daughter and saying, well, you know, so there are times, you know, when she doesn't always pay attention. Sometimes she kind of is kind of distracted, kind of flighty. One day she was sitting in the wrong desk. And so the mother was a little bit concerned. Says, I don't quite understand. I mean, what are you trying to tell me? She said, oh, I want to reassure you, the teacher says. She's doing just fine. Doing well. She's getting good grades. But the teacher goes on to say, though, by the way, our appointment for the conference was for tomorrow. So where might she get this from? Where might we get then from? Where might we get then the message that we share? Where do we get it from? We emphasize the power and presence of the Spirit and what that means to us and who we are to be. When you read about the healings of Jesus, it's not just a physical renewal of which we emphasize, but it is symbolic of this kingdom now that Jesus is announcing, of what it is to look like, who is to be included, and how we are to care for one another. Contrary to the traditions and the teachings, we are to be a people that brings surprise and shock to those around us. For it is a new kingdom. It is a new kingdom in which all are welcome. It is a new kingdom in which we renew one another. It is a kingdom of rebirth, forgiveness. It is a kingdom of reconciling and bringing together and uniting. It is not of dividing. It is not of excluding. It is the kingdom of the Spirit that moves us and shapes us from within. As we are the temple present in the community and the world around us. Amen.